Mark chapter 9. We'll read a few verses. As I mentioned this morning, I hope you have your Bibles with you. I encourage you, if you're new or you don't have one, get a Bible and bring it to you to church. You want to go through it, make some notes if God speaks to your heart about something. Plus, you just need to have a Bible to read. Amen? Okay? And you want to make notes in that and where God speaks to you. If you don't have money for a Bible, Brother Pineda will make sure that you get one. He doesn't know that yet. Yeah. Mark chapter 9. I know we're a little bit later, and I see the time. We will not keep you late unless we go later than we thought. We won't. I'll tell you what. I'll talk fast. You listen fast. We'll all go to In-N-Out. On Brother Pineda. Okay? Just kidding. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. I feel like that sometimes. Are you there with me? And by the way, it's not just the sons. All right, moving on quickly. It's not the kind of dumb spirit your kid has, all right? Say, do your kids ever do dumb things? Yeah, all the time. Get it from their mom's side of the family. And what wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. He's possessed. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. And they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Could you imagine? This child, his whole life pretty much, has this demon, all this torture and torment that's going on. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I think that's interesting that he didn't say have just compassion on the son, because what was going on with the son was affecting the whole family. He said, please have compassion on us, help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Verse 24, this is how we all feel. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. The spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word. And Father, we're going to look at this story tonight, and I think we can get some encouragement and some comfort and really a game plan of where we're going to go if we just follow it. Bless tonight. I pray you'd speak to our hearts in areas where you feel that we need it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me give you a little background here. Jesus and his disciples had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. He comes down and he finds the rest of his disciples being questioned by the scribes. They're talking to them. Of course, they were always trying to question them. They're trying to catch them in something that they could use against them later on. As the people see Jesus coming, they start to gather around him. He goes to the scribes and he asks, what are they doing? So Jesus is going to get involved in this conversation. As he does that, that's when this man steps forward and brings Jesus his problem. His son was possessed from the time he was little. All the thing. Could you imagine having a son like that and you turn your back and this demon is trying to throw him in the fire to kill him, trying to throw him in the water to drown him. Father had to constantly be watching him. He's asking for help. Jesus tells him that if he believes, all things are possible. Now, you think that would be a strong encouragement, and it is. But the man's answer is really an answer, if we were honest, that most of us would give if we come to situations like that. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. There's always a little nagging doubt in there, isn't there? And many times in our life, I'm sure we have either been there, we are there now, or we will be there in the future. It's going to happen. Now, as human beings, we don't like that. We like finality, we like resolution, and we like security. We don't have to deal with stuff like that. Can I just tell you something? Get over it. That's life. It's just going to be the fact of life. Uncertain things come. Uncertain times are here. Things happen we don't like, and we have to kind of get through it. We kind of have to believe, even though we have unbelief. So what does God do? He uses uncertain times like this to teach us valuable lessons. Or you could even take it a step or step back or step further. This is crooked. And say he uses these times to reinforce things we may already know. By the way, you don't really understand something until it's in the heat of the battle. Oh, God can take care of me if I don't have money. Well, of course you say that because you have money. Let's see how you're feeling when you don't have money. By the way, every child in our school is a tither. It's not hard to tithe when your parents give you a dollar and all you got to do is give a dime. Let's wait till you grow up, you get a job, and you get that paycheck for $500 or $600. Now we'll see if you're really a tither, okay? That's what happens. Now, I want to be personal here for a minute. I want you to look at it from the standpoint of our church before I give you a couple things I think will encourage us. It's been over 4 months since Pastor had his illness. It's been over 18 weeks, close to 130 days since it's happened. And we're still in a time of uncertainty. We're seeing Pastor go forward. It's slow progress, but that's what we want to see is progress. But as a church, it's easy when something like that happens to have a little bit of uncertainty. We've had many pastors come in to preach to us on Thursday nights and so forth, and I always take them out, and I ask them, especially when this first happened, like, what would you do if that was you and this happened to your church? I asked one pastor, and he's like, I didn't think you were going to ask me that question. And he's like, that's a good question. I've asked several, do you know of any other church that's went through something like this? I haven't heard of one. And there's still some uncertainty there. And although we believe that God is going to do great things, what is in the back of our minds? Help thou my unbelief. We trust God, I get that. But there's always that nagging doubt. Because we want resolution. We don't like waiting. We get mad if we have to spend 2 minutes in line at the fast food place. Right? We go somewhere for fast food and it's like, well, where are we going to go? Well, sometimes like, who has the shortest line? Yeah. By the way, let me say this. The church has been progressing. We've grown since Friend Day. We've grown since the fall program. Things are going well. We kind of gauge it through our adult Sunday school. The adult Sunday school's been good. People are being saved. People are being baptized. People are being helped. By the way, the buses are doing great. 300 again. Okay? It's good. We are progressing. We're going forward. The building is being built. There's been a lot of progress in the last 4, 5, 6 months. Now, I wish it was over. I'm like you. I'm like, I see the progress, and then I say, Lord, it's going forward. And I walk out and say, man, when is it going to be done? I shouldn't say that publicly. It's coming, though. It's closer than, now every day you go, it's closer, it's closer, it's closer. It is closer. When's it going to be done? I don't know. Let's get out there and get it finished. By the way, while you have a hammer in one hand, have your checkbook in the other. By the way, I'm not going to hide it. We are having a Giving Sunday coming in May. Amen? Start praying about that. Thank you for those 5 amens. By the way, we have jumped forward in our missions program. We've taken on seven new projects. We got Stanton. We got 2 church planters. We're putting away money for our Team China. Now we're just praying for those members to come forward, and that's going to happen. We put some money for Team Samaria. The Vongs are being fully supported. I forget who else. Ray? Ben Ray, we've supported. You know why? Because you're giving. You still have a heart. We're going forward. But yet, even though things are going forward, there's always that nagging little, what's going to happen? I don't know. But you know what? Let's serve God. So as we think forward and we look at this story, what do we know during uncertain times? There's certain truths I just want us to kind of be reconfirmed in our lives about uncertain times. I'd say, first of all, this. Scripture is still true. Scripture's still true. The Bible still works. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with God's word. Okay? Say, well, God's word isn't working for me. I'll tell you why. Because you're not working it. Okay? God's word is still true. He wanted, see, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believe it. And he wanted to believe it. In fact, of the matter, he did believe it. He would not have come to Jesus if he didn't think Jesus could help him. But in the back of his mind, he's like, I have some unbelief. Can you help me with that? Sometimes we feel like that. Scripture is still true in its promises. He gave him a promise. The promises of God are still reliable. See, Satan's really good. You know what Satan does when it comes to the Bible? He overstates the restrictions, what are alleged restrictions, and he understates God's provisions. Oh, the Bible's so restrictive, it's trying to keep you from fun. And then when it's something like God will do for us, oh, God can't really do that. You know what? Satan's a liar. Take the Bible at face value. It is God's word. He knows that if we doubt the promises, we will not act on the requirements. See, most of God's promises come with a requirement or a prerequisite. God says, if you do this, I will do this. That's what we need to do. Now, when it comes to the promises, it takes faith. It does. You say, well, how does that work? You know, some of the things, the promises God makes, I don't understand how it works. I mentioned a few weeks ago, take the area of tithing. God says if you tithe, you give your money to the church, 10%, that you'll do better than if you kept that 10%. Now, let me tell you from a number standpoint. I was not good in school. That's why I got out early. But there was one subject I nailed, math. Now, let me explain how this works from a mathematical standpoint. I have no idea. It doesn't make sense. 90% is less than 100%. Are you with me? Now we're talking about, you know, I'm sure the government gets their hand in your paycheck too. But let's just say 90% is less than 100%. And I know more is better than less. But God says if you give to him, you have less, but you'll actually have more. How does that work? I don't know. You say, oh, explain it to me so I understand it. I don't understand it. Because number-wise, it don't add up. But I understand it in my Christian life of 33 years of living for God. I got saved and right with God when I was one. Man, I was tithing when I was in diapers. I crawled down to that offering plate. No. Say, I can say this from practical experience. It's true. Our families never lack. In fact, God says if you give, he gives back to you. He blesses you. Say, how does that work? I don't know how it works. I just know this. It works. So how do you do it? You do it by faith. He says if you lose your life, you find it. In other words, if you don't live just for yourself, you say, I'm going to lose what I want, and I'm just going to find what God wants me to do. He says that's where the blessing is. So how does that work? I don't know. But I know this. It works. That's a promise. And you just look at everything. He talks about law and liberty. That doesn't make sense. If we give ourselves to follow the laws of God, in reality, we'll have liberty. Law seems restrictive. That's not how it works. Following God's law brings a freedom and a life that you will never experience anywhere else. But I know that Scripture is still true in its promises and in its power. Bible says he rebuked the foul spirit, and that was it. It was over. I also like what he did. He goes, I charge thee, come out of him. And I like the second part, and enter no more to him. You know, his father heard that and said, hey, demons, get out of him. Now, if he didn't go the second part, he may have thought maybe someday they'll come back. He said, don't ever come back again. Could you imagine having a child that tried to kill themselves because the demons are trying to throw it in fire? He'd still be wondering, well, I know he's healed, but is this going to happen again? Hey, Jesus said, don't come back anymore. It's done. God's word has power. The kids were talking today about God's word. That settles it. God said it. That's it. Let me read some verses from Genesis. How did God create everything? Well, Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light. There was light. No light bulb, no Thomas Edison. It was done. How did that come into being? God said it, his word. Verse 6 and 7. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament. How did he do it? Through his word, and divided the waters. And you get to the end of the verse, and it was so. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and all the other things. And it was so. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament, all the other things. And it was so. God's word has power. We just don't understand it. We can go on and on and on. You look at Peter. Jesus is walking out on the water to the boat. Peter sees him walking, and I don't know where he got this from. He said, I would have said, wow, what is that? You know what he thought? I want to do that. Now, he's the only one. Hey, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come, and I'll do it. Jesus gave him one word, come. Peter said, enough said. He got enough power out of one word to walk on water. Jesus said, come. We got a whole Bible full of words. God's word is still powerful. God's word is still true. And I know during these times, by the way, it's, you know, God's word is an offensive weapon. Now look, I understand that whenever you're doing anything for God, you're attempting to do something from God, Satan attacks us. I get that. But you know what? In Ephesians, it tells us, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now look, if you have a sword, I don't want it just to defend. Because what if you miss one time? See, that's offensive. I'm going to take the sword. I'm coming after you. Okay? God's word brings us forward. So scripture. I know this too, number two. I know prayer is still effective. He came to Jesus to very reason to ask him for help. God does answer prayer. He had unbelief, but he did have some belief because he did ask Jesus for help. Look a few verses later in Mark chapter 9, if you're still there. His disciples come and they ask Jesus, and they said, hey, how come we couldn't cast him? How come he had to come? How come we couldn't do this? Verse 28 of Mark 9. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately. They didn't want to be embarrassed. Hey, how come we couldn't cast him out? And he said unto him, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. He said, this wasn't some trick and pony show. You need my help here. And this type only comes forth by prayer and by fasting. How is our church going to continue to go forward? Prayer. And by the way, fasting. What does that mean? Doesn't mean you eat fast. Amen. That's why we've been doing the prayer. Excuse me. That's why we've been doing the prayer and fasting. I talked to Brother Goddard. He said, that's something our church does. He goes, I don't want there to be one day that someone in our church is not praying and fasting for our church. And that's something we're going to continue to do. And I encourage you to put it in your monthly schedule to be on there. Write the day down and make sure you're doing it. We need God's help. And by the way, God wants to help. If anything of any value is going to happen, you know what's going to happen? It's going to happen because God's doing it. In the early days, I spent several weeks on prayer hoping that was an encouragement. Now, we've emphasized the Bible a lot, but that's the flip side. God speaks to us through his word. We speak to God through prayer. See, what happens if we're not praying, we're just going to sit there and we're going to worry and we're going to stress out about things instead of leaving it at God's feet, bringing it to his feet. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. That's just basically worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What is he talking about? He's talking about asking earnestly. That's what prayer and supplication is, to ask earnestly. When we go to prayer, we're asking God to do the things that need to be done, to give us the help that we need. I hope you do that on a regular basis. We add thanksgiving. We say, Lord, we're thankful for everything you're doing in our life. By the way, when we think about all the things that God does in our life and we're thankful, it's not that hard to ask him to help us with the things we need help for because we're realizing all the things he's already done. God's done all kinds of wonderful things. And then he says, bring your request. That's addressing him specifically. Specific things, Lord, I need your help with. Not just general. Lord, bless the church. Amen. How? There's a lot going on. How are we going to go forward? We need to bring these specific requests to God and say, God, we need your help. Amen. So we know that prayer is still effective. We pray because we know we have a God that hears and answers, even when our faith starts to wane. Just have enough faith to go ahead and ask. Have enough faith to go to the throne. Number three, something else we can know in uncertain times, Jesus is still caring. He still cares. What did the Father ask him? If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That's exactly what Jesus did. You see, what happens is so often when we go through uncertain times and we have difficult times, we have a tendency to blame God as opposed to going to God. Remember the disciples in the ship. Jesus got in the ship and said, we're going to the other side. By the way, that should have just removed any doubt. Jesus said, we're going to go to the other side. So if Jesus said, we're going to go to the other side, we're making it. Now, Jesus didn't say it was going to be a great trip. Okay? He just said, we're going to get there. And it wasn't a great trip. It was a rough one. And they thought the boat was going to sink. Now, Jesus is sleeping at the bottom of the boat. He had no worries. And they should have thought, look, if he said we're going to get to the other side, and he's down there sleeping in the ship, obviously everything's okay. But you know what? They didn't think that way. By the way, we don't think that way. And in Mark chapter 4 and verse 28, it goes, and when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, you know, they didn't say, Master, we're having a little bit of an issue here, and we're scared. Can you help us? You know what they said? Master, carest thou not that we perish? They said, hey, Jesus, don't you care that we're all going to die? You don't care? You know, there's no, where's the question of help? You know, they're accusing him. Instead of saying, now Lord, I'm stressed here. I'm having a hard time with this. Help me out. There's nothing wrong with that. Lord, I'm struggling here. I need your help. No, they said, don't you even care? By the way, we think that sometimes, don't we? Does God really care? Oh, let me just settle it for you. He does. He cares. So sometimes we have a hard time seeing it, but come on. Let's just have faith that Jesus does care. I mean, he cared enough to come to this world and to die on the cross for our sins. We trust him enough for that, but we don't have enough trust to say, I think he knows what's going on. Let's just trust him. It's hard sometimes. I know. We struggle with it, but we shouldn't. John chapter 11, verse 20 and 21. This is the story of where Lazarus died. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now she could have went and said, Lord, my brother's dead and I don't understand this. Can you help me? You know what she said? You know, if you would have just came, he probably wouldn't be in a grave right now. Now we all feel like that. Lord, how come you didn't intervene? And by the way, sometimes I don't understand. Lord, why don't you intervene? Because God knows what he's doing. And to be honest with you, say, oh, it's not a cop-out, it's a fact of life. We won't understand until the other side. But I'm not going to question the fact he cares for us. Jesus still cares. By the way, he cares for the whole world. In Matthew chapter 9, later on, it says, but when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep not having a shepherd. Then said he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You see, when Jesus saw the crowd, he didn't see sinful mankind. He didn't see someone that didn't care about him. he saw people that needed someone to reach out to them. He said, hey, there's a great harvest out there. And he had compassion. He says, someone's got to reach them. Jesus cares. Let's never question that Jesus doesn't care for us. Number four, let me throw this in. Church is still important. Let's go off script here and go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, if you just flip over there. Church is important. You see, one thing that helps us get through difficulties is other Christians. The encouragement of church. And we need it. We all need it. Church is still important. And see, what happens sometimes, the very place we need to go to get that encouragement when we have uncertainty in our life, we disassociate ourselves from the very thing we need to be at. And we're missing out on that encouragement that God wants us to have. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another and to provoke unto love and good works. By the way, let me just say this before we move on. Church is not just here for you to come to sit and listen. Let me say that again. Church is not just here for you to come and sit and listen. All of us are to be encouragers to each other. I mean, we all need each other. This is a good place to be. And let's be around God's people, not to come in like, well, you know, it's not just a game. I'm going to go to the game and sit down and, you know, it's just me and my four and we saw the game and Graham had a good time. My team won and let's go home. Hey, let's come early. Let's encourage one another. Let's build some good godly friendships and let's help each other out. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, forsaking is a bad term, but I like the other. The word forsaken literally means abandon. You think of a mother that abandons her child, a father that abandons his children. That sounds bad. You say, you know why it sounds bad? Because it is. When we quit church, we are abandoning the church. By the way, in our society, the time we live, church has been devalued, even by alleged Christians. Well, you know, we'll just have service one time a week. Well, you can come on Friday night, you can come on Saturday night, or you can hit one of our five services Sunday morning. No Sunday night church. No, you know, midweek Bible study. You can go to someone's house and have coffee, and they'll ask you questions, and everybody sits in a circle and tells you how they feel, and there's nothing of God's word in that nonsense. Okay? You know, well, you know, Peter said this. How do you feel about that? You know, you don't want to know how I feel about things. I don't want to know how I feel about things. I want to know how God feels about things. And I want to be around God's people. I am still for church. And let me be really specific. I am for our church. Okay? I am for our church. I like what Brother Fisher was saying. You know, when he came here, was that two Thursdays ago? You know, someone asked him, hey, how's it going over there? Hey, things are going great. Really? By the way, things are going great. How is that happening? I'm just going to be honest with you. I have no idea. There are people, I'm sure, there's some of us like, man, what's going to happen? Is this thing going to fall apart? I think like that too. Is this thing going to fall apart, Lord? You know when I pray, I always say, Lord, now I just want you to understand something. This is not our church. This is not my church. This is your church. This is your work. What are you going to do about it? We'll do our part. But Lord, ultimately, it's up to you. And so if anything good happens, well, it's because the staff are wonderful people. Let me explain something to you, okay? Let me just explain something to you. No, they are not. No, I am not. Okay? Oh, you guys are super Christians. I'm sure if you ripped your shirt off, there'd be an S. If there was, it would stand for stupid. Okay? Or in some cases, sissy. Just kidding. Can't explain it. I'll just be real honest with you. We can't explain it. And by the way, if we could explain it, even for Pastor had his health issues, if we could explain what was going on, then it's not of God. Now, we try to be organized. We try to do the things we're supposed to do. We try to keep on top of things, but it doesn't matter. What is God doing? And by the way, I'm for our church. I don't want to hear criticism of our church. You know, I mentioned very early on that when this happened, someone that used to go here sent me this really long text, like the first week. And it makes my blood boil when I think about it. They were very critical. I'll just be honest. I didn't tell you that then. They were critical of Pastor. It's like, really? By the way, I don't want to say that because that sounds mean. I'm glad they're not here. It's like, by the way, there's no perfect church. Man, I wish we were perfect. But I'm not perfect in our family. You know, look at that. It's a perfect family. We'll go home with them for a few weeks. There are no perfect families. You got to be kidding me. Why? We're all human. Okay? I wish we were perfect, but it's just not there. It's like, man, don't you just love people? No. Don't you just love your family? Most of the time. And sometimes because I have to. Okay? It's what it is. But look, we're okay. And by the way, in a church family, when you have an issue, what you do, like you do in your family, just get it resolved. Go talk to the person. See, we live in the social media age. So what we do, and by the way, we're all prone to it. We don't want to work things out, so we'll just shoot a little, you know, I don't tweet, but you know, they'll shoot a tweet out, or they'll shoot blogs, or Instagram, or a text, and just like, okay, it's easy to hide behind that. But what we do is, hey, this is a church family, let's work it out. God wants us to do great things. And new people come to a church, like, wow, what a great church. I've never been to a place where people are so kind, so loving, they're so godly, they're so perfect. And then you come for about 3 months and your kid gets bit in the nursery, okay? Somebody's having a bad day. They almost run over you in the parking lot. By the way, they almost run over you in the parking lot because you're not supposed to park there. If you park at Blue Line, I promise no one will run over you, okay? But it's like what you find out is we are all flawed people. And so we try to work it out the best we can. But see, what church is supposed to be a place of imperfect people working together to encourage one another to go forward. And by the way, let's cut each other some slack. If someone's having a bad day, give them their space. Okay? If there's an issue, you get it solved, but let's encourage each other. Let's not just come and set. And by the way, you're Sunday night crowd. Let's come to church, and as we're here to set, let's make sure we're here to encourage one another. Talk, get to know people. If there's someone new, get to know them. How are you doing? How long have you been here? Let's not abandon church. Our theme, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Amen? Good theme. Now, turn over to Ephesians chapter 3 and let's apply it. Let me tell you one place where God wants to get the glory. Ephesians chapter 3. We're doing good on time. We'll get done the same time we always do, even though we got started a little late. Amen? I try to end on the same time every time. Why? Because I'm getting hungry. I'm like you. Come on now. So I don't need to go for an hour. I remember I heard someone say, to be effective, you do not have to be eternal. Okay? I was at Brother Pichardo's church last week, and how long you want me to go? He goes, brother, we go 30 or 35 minutes. I'm like, I'm in because I'm hungry. And by the way, the Filipinos, I know you guys love to feast. I am all in. But man, Brother Pichardo's church, they feast. I don't know what they had. They had these little cake things. I don't know what they were in. I ate 3 of them at the table. When everybody turned their back, I went back over there. And they had this chicken. And it was all good. If I can get a job up there, I'm going. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now here we go. Unto him be glory in the church. Where does God want to be glorified? Do all to the glory of God. I'll tell you one place, here at church. Let God do something. And it's like, wow, how did that happen? God did it. Oh, you know, it's our wonderful little system, and we did all this. I have no idea what the system is. God did it. Amen. Let's make sure God gets the glory. Amen. By the way, the church is God's idea. It's not man's. Amen. Okay? Let's move on. And then number five. And we're done. Someone is still grieving. Someone's still grieving. You say, man, I'm having a tough time with everything. So I know we all are. But something we need to understand, there are people that have problems. And we can't just sit here, you know, they marinate. Let's marinate, man. We can't just sit here and stew in our own little problems. Because there are people out there that don't know the Lord. Or there are people out there that are away from the Lord and they're having trouble and they need someone to help get them to where they can get help. They don't need us to be, yes, we have our issues we need to deal with. Yes, we have our things we have to get in order. But there are people that need the Lord. There are people that need the answers that you know because you've been a Christian. And we need to get the answers to them. It's interesting, Jesus comes to his disciples, and here are the scribes and the disciples, and they're kind of going at it, and Jesus and his guys, they just came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and everything's good. And what happens? Here's a man that steps forward and says, I have a problem. You know, Jesus was like, hey, scribes, what are you talking about? There's a debate going on, and this guy goes, I'm not here for the debate. I'm here because I have a son that really needs you. So he steps forward out of the midst of all of the drama, all of the arguments, and he says, I have a problem. I need your help. There's people like that everywhere. Okay? They're everywhere. And so let's, as a church, not forget we're supposed to encourage other people. We get so caught up in our own little problems. We get caught up in our own little things that no one is being helped. They walk by us every day, and we don't even see it. I remember when I was in Bible college, they gave me a bus route. I was a bus captain route, and my division leader came, Brother Ray, and said, I want you to take another route over here. So he moved me to this other route. So I'm visiting that first Saturday with the guy who was running the route, and the route was doing bad. Their fall program, they average in the teens. And so I'm visiting with this guy that's been running the bus route. And we go to this apartment, and we're sitting there, and he's visiting these kids, and there was like a 17 or 18-year-old to the side. He goes, nah, don't even bother with her. She never comes. She's just, and so he's visiting the kids, so I walked over to her. I said, how you doing? I introduced myself. I started talking to her. This girl started telling me her problems. And I listened for a few minutes. I talked to her. I encouraged her. The girl, he said, you don't waste your time on her. The next Sunday, the bus pulls up. She's waiting. She comes to church. It's fine. She just needed someone to talk to her and help her with her problems. There are people we pass every day. You go somewhere, there's that first person with that hard face, and it's like, man, I don't give them a track. You know, they might say something. You never know what's going on in their heart. There might be something there, and they're grieving, and that's just the person God's going to bring you to. Hey, listen, we're always going to face uncertain times, no matter what. That's just life. But we need to understand that God still wants to do something during those times. And so we believe it and we know God is there. And in the back of our mind, we have this little nagging doubt. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that nagging doubt. You know why the nagging doubt was not a problem for this guy? Because he had enough faith to go to Jesus in the first place. He didn't let the nagging doubt stop him. And we can't let it happen to us either. God has great things in store. Let's just go forward. Amen. We need to deal with our problems. Things will come into our life. Let God work in our life, but as we're doing that, let's go forward for him. Let's all stand together tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed.